Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, the Vegan Brothers are both joining us to tell us how to have a little fun with veganism, or at least I think that's what they're going to do, since the title of their new book is called Vodka is Vegan, a Vegan Brothers Manifesto for Better Living. The brothers...
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I know. The brothers who are making vegan cool and making eating animals weird have made it their mission to prove that eating vegan doesn't have to be difficult, restrictive, or joyless. In fact, they'd like to point out most people are already 90% vegan without even thinking about it.
I'm 80%.
You're 80%.
I'm 80%.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to think about what percent I am. Anyway, Matt and Phil Letton, the Vegan Brothers, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thanks for having us.
Whoa, okay. Which one of you was the first one that said, wait a minute, I've got to transform my life. Something's not working. I feel terrible. I want to become a vegan.
You're making a lot of assumptions
there. I know. Well, I know a little something.
Yeah. Well, we both sort of came at it from, like, I guess, two separate angles. So I ate meat for the first 17 years of my life, and it wasn't that I didn't care about animals or I didn't care about my health or any of that stuff. It's just I didn't really know what was going on. And it wasn't until I was 17 that I got some information that showed how the animals are treated, which we don't need to go into because it's graphic. And, you know, everyone basically knows at this point sort of how animals are treated on factory farms and slaughterhouses. But I learned about it, and I was sort of, you know, at that point I was taken aback. I was horrified. And I didn't stop eating meat all at once right then and there. I didn't go vegan all at once right then and there, but I gave up meat about a year later, and I transitioned to a vegan diet over the next 3 years. And that is when... And we talk about this in the book. I sort of, you know, because I was so horrified about how animals were treated, I sort of took on, you know, what we would consider to be the stereotypical abrasive militant vegan persona of the past, where I was just, you know, I was more pushy about it. I was sort of in your face about it. And it was sort of a reaction to just learning how the animals were treated. And so that caused both of us to sort of begin to butt heads. So I was sort of this abrasive militant vegan, and Matt was this anti-vegan, and we're kind of butting heads going back and forth. But eventually I sort of started to calm down. I became more relaxed in my approach. I learned more about, like, effective communication skills. And at that point, Matt had experienced his own transformation, which he can get into. And through all that is when Matt sort of, he also began to change as well.
Matt, do you want to weigh in on your experience?
I can, absolutely. Yes. I mean, you know, Phil's right. It was definitely, at the beginning, it was Clash of the Titans in our household. I mean, when we would both be home from college at our parents' house, just to kind of highlight where I was coming from, just how stark the contrast is. When our mom would occasionally make a vegan meal just to kind of, as a nice gesture for Phil, if she brought it to the table and was like, hey, here's spaghetti with marinara sauce, I'm like, oh, give it to me. I'll eat all of it. If she brought it to the table and she said, here's a vegan meal, I made it for Phil, I would lose it. I would flip out, and then I would, like, leave the house and go to Taco Bell, just kind of leave everybody there. And so it was Clash of the Titans, and I just didn't like vegans. And so I would give him crap, and I'd eat bacon in front of him, and I was the dude who would, you know, not only would I ever not even consider eating a vegan meal, let alone here I am with my brother having written a book, and we built a brand kind of on mainstreaming vegan eating. It's been a crazy journey.
And Matt, you represent a perspective that I think a lot of people share, and Phil articulated that, which is the treatment of animals. And I think we can all agree that there's awful, horrible treatment of animals that enter into our food supply. But why is it that some people react the way they do, but the majority of people are able to compartmentalize, to deny, to keep it in the subconscious, or rationalize or justify it? And I fit into that category. I still eat meat. I eat a lot less red meat than I used to, but I still eat red meat. I still eat pork. You know, and I don't tend to get activated around that. Why do you think that is the case?
Sure. Well, you know, we recognize, and we talk about this in the book, is, you know, we recognize that we all come from, all of us as human beings, we come from unique backgrounds and circumstances. You know, many of us were raised several different ways. And part of the thing about who we become as adults is a lot of it is environmental. A lot of it has to do with how we're raised. And let's face it, as Americans, I mean, all of us, I mean, there's a unique person every now and then that, you know, was raised, you know, vegetarian or something like that. But most of us were raised eating meat, you know, three, or if you're me, you were eating meat like five or six times a day. But that's just the way things were. But it's not indicative. The way things were doesn't have to be the way things are now or the way things will be in the future. And we think, yeah, in the past, there simply a lot of it's just because of information. And I think a successful campaign by the meat and what we like to call sometimes the meat and dairy industrial complex, where they seeded successfully in people's minds for a period of time that, you know, you could only get protein from meat, and that you only get calcium from milk. And we've now found out because of the freedom of information exchange with technology and the internet that's just simply not true. And what we're finding out now with who's coming into our big tent, which it's a cross section of society, you know, investment bankers, military, police officers, stay at home moms, pastors, it is across the board. And then obviously we have celebrities and elite professional athletes that are all coming on board now. The awareness is peaking right now, and the culture is shifting in that it's now people are able to come in and explore. Like we say, if you're opposed to animal cruelty, you're already 90% vegan, your diet is the last 10%. We're welcoming people in to explore as much or as little as they want. It doesn't have to be this all or nothing proposition. So, you know, we think, Tim, you're on the right track, and everybody is thinking about this stuff in some way, and we just give you the freedom to explore it on your own terms, in your own time, and you recognize that you're a unique individual with unique circumstances, and you need the support to be able to figure your own life out.
There we go. I like that. Matt and Phil Letton are our guests. They have written a book called Vodka is Vegan, a Vegan Brothers Manifesto for Better Living. And I'm sort of leaving the last part of the tagline off. There's one of the great things, although we can't say it on radio, but your chapter titles, for example, in your book have plenty of cursing in them. And I have to say, it's kind of fun.
I challenged her to read your chapters on air.
And lose my job. But hey, at least I would have read the chapters. But again, going back to sort of, you know, veganism seems pretty heavy, pretty intense. And you are just trying to get us to that last 10% of the way towards veganism by making us embrace it because it's hilarious. Is that fair to say?
Oh, totally. Yeah, and you know what? You know, it can be a heavy issue especially when you just think about the treatment of animals on factory farms and slaughterhouses. I mean, it's horrible, but it's like it doesn't need to be this. You know, you don't need to be one of my friends. He's vegan as well. One of the things he always says is you don't need to be all death and dismemberment all the time. It's like this is life. Like, you know, we only get one chance. It's like we need to be enjoying it. We need to be having a good time. And especially, it's like no one's going to be wanting to come in and join us if we're just down in the dumps, just thinking about how bad everything is. And really, it's getting easier and easier to be happy and be filled with joy because people are going vegan in droves. Now, like Matt was saying, you know, we have people from all walks of life who are exploring, who are either going 100% vegan or exploring eating vegan. You know, people, you know, like he was saying, military, police, investment bankers. I mean, our parents, pastor, you know, there's people from all walks of life. Now you have celebrities and professional athletes who are going vegan in droves. You have laws that are changing to end some of the worst abuses animals are facing on factory farms. And then on top of that, you have, I mean, you even have now, we have even the meat industry is beginning to make moves. You have Tyson and Cargill, which are two of the most, what you could consider like in the past, two of the most animal abusing companies in the world. They've begun now moving toward investing in companies like Beyond Meat and even doing their own thing as far as investing and doing their own thing with plant-based food. So the future is looking bright, and we're just really excited about it.
And also, people are excited now because, you know, we've gotten to this point where, you know, I think early on the vegan stereotype of the past kind of painted this picture for the world of suffering and frustration and like this kind of angry person who's upset with the world. And the reality is when we're painting this picture and letting people know our story, and when you step into this path in vegan eating now, it's not a sacrifice. It's actually better. Like, we feel better about ourselves. We're in the best shape of our lives. We're happier than we've ever been. We feel like we're fulfilling our life's purpose. And that's really what we're inviting people into.
We recently did a vegan challenge in Park City. And through that, I came to the conclusion that I was 80% vegan, but I think listening to you guys, I might be a little bit above that. But we kind of had fun with it, like you do, holding up signs that said almost vegan, 80% vegan. We had Oreos at a meeting because they're vegan and things of that nature. The challenge was anywhere from 7 to 10 days, depending on who you talk to in the organizing group. I made it for 7 days. I actually think I made it to almost 8 days. I'm not sure how far Lynn made, but I want her to go on record with how many days she made it in our community challenge. Lynn?
Three.
Where does
that's
that
all
put
I'll
her?
Say.
How? what is Lynn? Is she 50% vegan, having made it 3 days in the challenge? Or, you know, you say most people are actually about 90%. Has the general populace shifted from something like 60% not too long ago to more like 90% just because there's greater awareness around this issue?
The mindset, there's no question that the mindset and awareness around this issue has shifted things so much. And that's really, you know, when we get into the psychology of change, you know, we really got into that a lot when we were thinking about how we wanted to help people transition in the guide part of the book. And when you get into the psychology of change, I mean, mindset and the way we feel and think about things is most of it. And then our actions follow that. And, you know, this is a situation where when people start to make choices that align with the way that they're feeling and thinking, you start to get into this state where you see the world differently and better, and things get better, and the people around you are feeling better, and you're looking better. And, like, things just seem brighter and better. And that's kind of where we're at as a society, especially in America.
Well, it's a lot of fun, this book you have written. It's called Vodka is Vegan, a Vegan Brothers Manifesto for Better Living and, okay, I'll say it, and Not Being an A-Hole. Is the rest of the tagline.
Love it. Love it.
Phil and Matt Letton, thank you for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.